God was with us the whole way, but there were some parts of it that I was clicking my heels wishing to be home, if you know what I mean. So let us pray, and I'll get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, we come. And Lord, we are so humbled to know that we can impact so much out of this church, that we can impact the homeless community in Beaverton and in Hillsborough and other parts. Lord, that we can impact the Philippines, that we can impact Haiti and Mexico, New Zealand. Lord, there's all these places where you give us just the honor to represent you. You give us the honor, Lord, to go in your name with the gospel and also to meet people's needs. Lord, I just pray that tonight as we hear the message, Lord, that you would just peel back any limitations that we put on ourselves. Lord, peel back any limitation that we put on you. Lord, let us understand that this is for us. Individually, yes, and collectively, yes. To him who is worthy. In the name of Jesus, amen, church. Amen. Go ahead and turn to Acts 13. We're going to get there in just a little bit. You know, I was in Haiti when I think you guys got some news about some election that happened. and it's kind of crazy because it's crazy times. I mean, that's all I can describe it. People are losing their minds in many ways in our nation. It is just, I've never seen this. I've been around for like 32 years, and I've never seen it like this before. But Scripture talked about it. Really, Scripture talks about there'll be a day in the last days, really, where that which is right will be called wrong. And that which is wrong will be called right. And that's the days in which we live in. I'm not preaching about that right now, but that's really the days in which we live in. It's like people have lost their minds and they don't care. They've lost their marbles and they don't care. It's kind of interesting. And so we have to understand that, you know, that even our best efforts, our loving efforts, will always be people that when we present the gospel, will present it in love. We'll always do that. But you got to understand that we live in a day in which reason has left the building. I mean, Elvis left first, now reason is left, right? Reason has left. And even the loving, gentle proclamation of the gospel is being challenged in our day. It's kind of crazy. It really is. And it's almost like, you know, go hide yourself, you know, under a rock and I'll be pleased. But I got to be honest with you, they won't even be pleased. But that's the days in which we live in. So I began by asking this question, what is behind this opposition? What is the source of opposition? You got to understand, it's not people. People are not the problem. Scripture is real clear. Now, what's behind the opposition? And how do we take it on? See, God's people, we're unstoppable. Amen? The church of Jesus Christ is an unstoppable church. It's always advancing, and no power anywhere on earth, under the earth, anywhere can stop the Spirit-filled church. Amen? Amen? Nothing, and that's you and I. So we will not be stopped. And so what is behind it? I think it's the spirit of the Antichrist in our day. Scripture talks about it. You can look it up when you get home. The spirit of the Antichrist is really what's behind this opposition. And yet, you got to understand that if you and I are directed by the Spirit, we can always be assured that the Spirit's power is available to us in this battle. See, if I had to fight this battle on my own, man, we're in trouble, right? If you had to fight this battle on your own, you're in trouble. But we don't. We fight it with the power of the Spirit when we move according to what the Spirit talks about. So today I'm talking about the game plan. You know, somebody told me that the Cowboys are 8-1. Praise Jesus, man. I remember the dry days. I remember the lean years, right? So I hear that the Cowboys are 8-1. So I'm going to, the message today kind of has a kind of a football aspect to it, right? It kind of really does. And so I want to apologize up front. So we're going to talk about the game plan. What is the game plan? How do we take on this opposition? I'm going to give you three things that I see in Acts 13, beginning with verse 4. And it is our role in this battle, our role in this game, or whatever you want to call it, is really to run the plays the Spirit calls. It means to be Spirit-led. We're a Spirit-led church, and we're a Spirit-led people, and that's really the where you start. You want to run the plays that the Spirit calls. Don't be doing audibles on your own. Don't be just, you know, making it up, right? You know, you just go along and, you know, just do whatever you want, I'll get it to you. No, you'll get crushed that way. And look in verse 4 of Acts 13. It says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that's in charge. It's the Holy Spirit that's calling the place. They, talking about Saul and Barnabas, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, Cyprus is an island in the Mediterranean. Really was the home of Barnabas. And it says, when they arrived in Salamis, Salamis was the largest city on that island, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and also, it says, they had John as their assistant, John Mark. They basically were discipling him. But the key is this, they were being guided by the Spirit, and that's really crucial. That's really crucial for you and I. We should not move away from being directed by the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to back up what the Spirit calls. And so there's a certain confidence that comes when you know you're on assignment from God. When I know I'm on an assignment from God, enemy, you better look out, because nothing is going to stop me. Because I know I'm already the son of God, right? I'm one of his sons. Right? You're one of his daughters. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God, right there. That alone does something to me, and hopefully it does something to you. And so I begin, and then I know that the Spirit of God is within me. The potential of God is within me. I know I'm guided by the Spirit. I know that the Spirit will give me the words that I need. And I know that it's the Spirit that's going to convict people of sin. I know it's the Spirit that goes before me and will do the work. I just got to get on the field, amen? And so Paul and Barnabas, they're not going on feelings. They're not coming up with their own plans. If it's your own plan, then it's your own resource, right? If you're coming up with a plan, then for the most part, you're on your own. Now and then, God has mercy, but if it's your plan, you're on your own. You know, I was reading a story about this guy. He lived in San Francisco, and so he was looking to buy a Harley. So he sees in the newspaper that there's a Harley for sale in Stockton. So it's like a 2-hour drive. So he goes to Stockton and finds this Harley, and you know, there's kind of a tough dude is selling it, and so he's checking out the bike, and eventually he buys the bike. But he hears the Holy Spirit give him a play, and the Holy Spirit tells him, talk to this guy about me. Well, like, excuse me? Right? I just met this guy. This guy's a stranger. He's a biker dude. You know, I just want to get my bike and run. But he hears the Holy Spirit says, no, you give him your testimony. You tell him about me. And so he follows through, gives him his testimony, tells him about the Lord, says, the Lord is the most important thing in my life. And then he gives him his brand new Bible. Just about a Bible, but he thinks, you know, here's the Bible, gives it to him, right? He obeys the Holy Spirit, does his part, moves on to San Francisco, has a good time with his Harley. 2 years later, he ends up, through kind of a job transfer, he ends up moving to Stockton. He didn't think about anything, right? This had already passed, he'd already forgotten. So he ends up going to church, and while he's there at church, this guy comes in, and he goes, this guy's acting like he knows me. He's thinking, who is this guy? And he's like, oh, that's that guy that I bought the bike from, right? And so the guy proceeds to tell him that, you know, 2 years ago when you bought my bike, when you told me your testimony, God began to work in my life. And so it was 8 months after that he gave his life to the Lord, right? How amazing is that? Well, then the next week, he brings his family. He says, I want you to meet my family because my family has come to the Lord. Well, the following week, he brings his in-laws and their family, and they come, and he says, I want you to meet my in-laws. They also have come to the Lord. And then he noticed that his father-in-law had the Bible that he had given this guy, who apparently was given then later to the family, who then was given to the in-laws. See how it works? But you see, he moved based on the plan that the Lord called. And that's really the key. And we see Paul and Barnabas doing the same thing. They were being led by the Spirit, and they preached in all kinds of places. And in fact, they went And what I would say, the lion's den, they went to synagogues. They went to the seats of power. They didn't say, okay, where's a good, safe place to present the gospel? They went right to the synagogues. I mean, how many of you would do that? Right? How many of you would go to a place where you know the reception is probably not going to be that good? But that was their method. They would go into a town and they would head to the synagogue. So the question I ask tonight is, when's the last time that the Spirit led you to do something? When's the last time that you did something challenging for the kingdom of God, that you heard the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit does speak. Right? You've heard Him. You know His voice. When's the last time that you said, oh man, I hear the Holy Spirit. He's telling me to talk to this clerk. Right? To talk to this clerk in Fred Meyer. I know that I know. You know, when I was coming back from Haiti, I don't think that he's here, is he? The team is still in Haiti, but I traveled with Scott Allen back, and so we were on the plane. Scott's an amazing guy. He talks to everybody, right? He talks to everybody. He prays for everybody. You know, I go through. You know, we go through kind of customs and stuff, and we go through one magnetometer, and we're going through another, and I'm like, where's Scott at? And there he is. He's talking to one of the people from the airlines in Haiti, and next thing I know, he's praying for this lady. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. Well, we get on the plane, and we're sitting together, and then he gets up to go to the bathroom. And then like an hour passes by, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Haiti got to him, you know? you know, and so I was worried. I know what that feels like. But no, you know what he was doing? He was back there with all the flight attendants sharing the gospel. Ended up hearing the story of one lady, you know, she's struggling in her marriage, and he's praying for him. I mean, see, that's where it gets exciting, amen? That's where, but you got to be available. Well, you got to be available to really run the play that the Spirit calls. You got to be Spirit-led. And so we see Paul and Barnabas doing that, right? They went out, they reached out to people, they preached, they made disciples, they confronted falsehood. They understood that this kingdom work is really a team sport. It's not up to, you know, the staff. I told my staff this. I said, you know what we do well at Eastford? We take care of our people. The staff is, I've got some amazing staff around me, and we are good at taking care of the congregation. But you know, you're also part of the team because you're all ministers also. It's just not on us professionals, as they would say, but you get to carry the ball, right? You get to, the Lord's not going to, I mean, he's going to call your name, and he's going to say, this down is for you. You carry the ball. And you got to have that mentality. You got to have mentality. Romans 10, 13 and 14 really speaks to where you live. Let's read that. It says this. I'm going to read it forward, and then I'm going to read it backwards. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Well, then he's going to tell you how that happens. How then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them or talking to them? So if you read it backwards, you see what he's getting to it. He says, first someone has to preach or talk to them. That's where it starts. Like this guy, he goes from San Francisco to Stockton and he hears the play. Here's the play. The Lord's brought the play. Here we go. You're up. And he hears the play, and so the play is to tell them your testimony, present the gospel. Then they hear. And when they hear, then they're able to believe. They either believe the gospel or they don't believe the gospel, or they wrestle with the gospel. And when they believe, then they call on the one who they now believe, and then they get saved. You see the progression? But it starts with you and I opening our mouth. That's why the enemy wants to silence the church in our day. He knows this verse too. He knows how it works. And he says, you know, if I can just psych out believers and just tell them, oh yeah, talk big at church, but when you leave church, woo, be quiet, then I've done my job. But I know his strategy, so I'm telling you kingdom strategy. And kingdom strategy is be like this guy and listen to the play and carry out the play. Can I get an amen? Right? So who are you reaching out to today? See, I think we're in a season in which people are open to the gospel. Between now and Christmas, people are open to God. I would even say even after Christmas, because people want to make a change in their life. Even people at work, you can just say, hey, man, what are your goals for this year? And they'll tell you, oh, this and this and this and this. And you might even say, do you have any spiritual goals? I'm like, well, what are you talking about, spiritual goals? Right? I mean, look, the door's open right there. That's all you got to do. You got to have a way to get in there. So who are you reaching out to? You're reaching out to your coworkers, your family, your doctor. I mean, you be reaching out to somebody. Here's the second thing. So not only do you run the place that the Spirit calls, in other words, be Spirit-led, but you break through the line of opposition. In sports, there's always opposition. There's always a team against you. And you never freak out. Oh, you won't believe, coach, somebody showed up against us today. Right? You go prepared expecting opposition. But we believers, we sometimes like we get all weird when opposition happens, like, I can't believe opposition is happening. No, there's a team against us. There's a team against us. And so don't be surprised that there is opposition. But you and I, we break through the line of opposition. That means we confront spiritual obstacles. That's what we do. We take them on. We don't shy away. They didn't shy away. And I'm going to read beginning with verse 5. Here we go. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, which is really, Paphos is really the capital of Cyprus. Now, once again, they went there purposely. They go to the island of Cyprus, they go to the biggest town, and then they go across the island 90 miles. So they went from one end, from the east side to the west side. And the city they're going to is really the center of government, but it's also the center of worship of, you know, the goddess Aphrodite, the goddess of lust, the goddess of love. I mean, so it's a very sensual place. It's so like, I don't know, what do you call it? You know, like Miami Beach or something. I mean, a real sensual place, crazy place. And they go there purposely. And they find a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew even. Like, whoa, wait a minute, this guy was messed up. A certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, means son of Jesus. Now, that's sometimes, well, you're like, whoa, that's kind of weird. No, Jesus, the name Jesus in that day was really pretty common, like the name John in our day, right? So it says, the Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, it says an intelligent man, this man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. So they got this invitation from really the highest guy. He was the governor of the area. He was the highest ranking official there, had been appointed by the Senate, the Roman Senate. He was a mover and shaker, and he asked for an audience. I wonder how many of us, we said, Lord, take me wherever. How many of us, maybe the mayor would call us. Hey, next thing you know, you're in the mayor's office. Whoa. Well, guess what? If you said, Lord, take me to kings, queens, princes, wherever, Lord, I'm available. And if you find yourself somewhere there, guess what? You run for the fence. You go for a home run because you know God has put you there. And sure enough, Paul and Barnabas and Paul had gone there and talked to this official, Sergius Paulus. And then it says, this man called for Barnabas and Saul, and he sought to hear the word of God. Verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name translated, really Elymas means sorcery, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So they were opposed. You know, they knew they're there on assignment from God. They knew God called the play. They show up, and there's opposition. Right? Some of you that played, once, if you're a running back, Daniel was a running back at one time. They give you the ball, and you come over here. You don't, like, freak out. Hey, there's some big guys trying to tackle me. Right? No, that's part of the game. And so they understood that wherever they went, there would be opposition, and they didn't worry about opposition. They still went. So he tried to talk this Sergius Paulus away from the faith. Verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul. Now, from here on, he's going to be called Paul. Saul was really his Jewish name. Paul is his Greek name. Well, why is he going to use Paul now? Because from then on, he's going to the Greeks. Right? That's why he's using that name. Says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. The one guy this guy's a sorcerer. Right? He's into all kinds of bad stuff. I don't know if you ever met demonized, you know, people, witches, sorcerers, witch doctors. You know, you look at these people and they're like, whoa, you're like, whoa, something's on them. You know what you got to understand? Something's on you too. and it's greater than what's on them. You got to understand that. Don't ever allow, you know, I mean, witch doctors, they're the first guys with dreadlocks. I mean, seriously, you should see them. They're like crazy looking because they are crazy. They're demonized. But you don't let that throw you because you casted out demons before. So it's like no big deal, right? And so sure enough, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looked intently at him and he said to the sorcerer, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud." He's busting him. He said, "I know what you're about." He says, "You're a con man, right? You son of the devil." Whoa. He tell him, "I know what team you're on. You're on the devil's team." Well, some people are like, "Oh, he's son of the devil." No. You, once again, don't forget who you are. Right? Who's the lousiest team right now in the NFL?
Browns.
Dallas Cowboys. Come on. I would bet that the Browns take the field a little bit different than the Dallas Cowboys do. I would just bet that if you watch them, they take the field a little bit different. There's one thing when you've been winning, when you're on a roll, you know you don't expect to lose. But when you're losing a lot, you're like, "I hope we can eke a win or keep it close." I mean, it's just totally different. And that's really the way Paul is. He knows what team he's on. And he's like, "I know what team you're on, and I'm in the greater team. My team's never lost." And he's not going to lose here. "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." He says, you're against everything that's right. So that reminds you of our day. "Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" He says, you're trying to just create crooked paths. And I'm about setting the right path for the Lord, for people of God. Verse 11, "Now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you." Oh, this is bad. He's saying God's about to smack you. Right? God's about to come and smack you. It's not my hand, it's his hand. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time, and immediately," tell your neighbor, "immediately," "whoo," "immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." In case you didn't know it, the Bible forbids occult practices. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination, all those things, right? And here this Elymas, he opposed the witness of the word, and so God came down on him hard. You know, it's interesting that Sergius Paulus, had even sorcerers around him, and a lot of leaders in that day did. You know, they were they'd go to the sorcerer, "Hey, tell me what's in the future, you know. Tell me," and they kept these guys. It was almost like part of their cabinet, part of their counselors they'd go to. Which you think, that's crazy. Read up on some of our presidents. You'd be reading on some of our presidents, who they've gone to, right? They've gone to people like them. Totally crazy. And you wonder why we're in a mess that we are as a nation. When your leaders are consulting people that are into divination and sorcery and that kind of stuff, it creates an issue. But you know, this guy like Elymas, we run into guys like him in Haiti. You know, these voodoo witch doctors. Crazy. I mean, you'd spot them. You're driving. You're like, "Holy smokes!" I mean, they have this look about them, and the people are afraid of them. But you know who's not afraid of them? God's people, our pastors. They're not afraid of them. Said, in fact, we got one converted not too long ago. Right? See, these are guys that are considered among the people, those with a lot of power, so much power. Wait a minute. How much power do you have when just an average Christian can break that power and lead you to the Lord? I mean, how much power do you really have? And these are people that have devoted themselves over years into the things of darkness. And that quickly, light comes and breaks that hold. You got to understand that, right? And that's the same power that is in you and I. It's resident in there. So when we went to Haiti, and I'm sure Pastor Tammy will talk a little bit more about this, one of the churches that we studied was in a place that we started was in a place called Tripote, which is, means three poles, and this was a church that is at the heart of a voodoo country. You hear the drums at night and stuff, and the pastor that's there, I mean, the voodoo guys have come and dismantled the church three different times. I mean, that'll kind of like dishearten you, but he's not disheartened. He just gets on his knees again. He's the same one that ate our men, showed up at his house looking for him, but he's not disheartened. He knows who's got the greater power. So it was awesome to go back this time, and the church was packed. The church was packed, and you could just tell. And I told the congregation, the spirit of voodoo is broken in this community. You just feel it. It's different, right? The darkness is on the run in that community. You just feel it. In fact, we myself and Pastor Tammy, we did a teaching on premarital stuff, right? Because what you had is, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because of voodoo or whatever, but people don't marry there. And so now we have 10 couples that want to get married. They want to honor God. We say, if you honor God, he honors you. Do it the right way. And they wanted to do it the right way. So we got these 10 couples together and began to share with them what the scriptures say. Took them from Genesis on what the scripture says about marriage and the union of marriage stuff. And it's kind of interesting because they you got to talk to them about multiple wives. Can't have them, right? That's out. You can't have girlfriends. That's out on the side. You can't beat your wife. I mean, it's crazy because it's a different culture on what they allow. In fact, one of these witch doctors that got saved, the question he's now asking us is, well, I've got three wives. Which one do I keep? You know? He says, because if I choose one, the other two will probably be mad. I mean, what a problem to have, huh? Yeah. So we're like, hey, what a problem to have. It's exciting. But we run into guys like, you know, yeah. I love those kind of things. You know, we're like, whoa. You know, one of my favorite things is just to open it up. Just ask me any question. Ask me any question. And they were tracking. It was amazing. So guys like Elymas, man, we see them in Haiti. And I tell you what, we know that the power of God is greater than that. You know, he's going to try to prevent God's people from believing. He's going to try, prevent other people from believing. But guess what? It's no match for the power of God. You know, the Sergius Paulus, it's interesting that the scripture says he was an intelligent man. And the word means that he could connect the dots. I mean, that's a sharp guy, could connect the dots. But it's interesting, even though he's a guy that could connect the dots, he still keeps sorcerer around, right? As a counselor. So even a sharp guy like him can be controlled by a false prophet, and sure enough, he was. But Paul, who's filled by the Spirit, he boldly confronts this evil, and evil folded it real quick. Look what 2 Timothy 1:7 says, a verse that is very familiar to you, but I'm reminding you again. For God did not, has not, will not, right, has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. Don't ever be fearful against what you come. I don't know. I don't care what it is. If it's sickness, sometimes when I have a sickness, something holding on that won't leave, I'm saying, you know what? If you're going to stay in there, I'm going to make your life miserable. I speak to that thing. I'm going to make your life miserable. You'll want to leave. And then you're going to tell your buddies, don't ever mess with that guy, right? He makes your life a living hell. That's because I'm not going to be afraid of that, right? He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but instead, look at three things. But of power, right? Power, explosive power, of love. He'll give us a capacity to love people. Because you can't just blow people out of the water. You got to love them. And a sound mind, right? So, point number one, run the place the Spirit gives you. Be Spirit-led. Point number two, break through the line of opposition. Confront spiritual obstacles. It's never people. There's always a spirit behind people, but take it on no matter what. At work, take it on. If there's stuff going on at work, show up early and take it on. Right? The way I did it at work is I would get there earlier. I was in management. I'd open people's offices, and I'd go and pray in their offices. Right? Because we were in court a lot of times, a lot of the officers would have their suits and coats, their dress coats in their office hanging up, and I'd go and I'd hang on to them. I'd grab them and I'd pray. I'm getting there way early before anybody shows up. I declare and decree that the man who wears this coat will be saved. Lord, the revelation of who you are will come to him. I'll do that. And I'll go to the next office and do the same thing, you know? And no wonder people got saved one by one by one by one by one. I mean, it's confronting the opposition. People will stay blind unless you and I do something about it. Here's the third thing. So not only, right, do you break through the line of opposition, but here's the third thing. You shoot for the end zone. When you're led by the Spirit, you'll be more effective. When you're led by the Spirit, you're going to score. See, but you got to want to score. You got to want to go and go and go and go. Don't ever stop. You're on. When the Spirit's leading you, you go for it. Look in verse 12, Acts 13. It says, then the proconsul, what? Believed. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Once again, this is the highest ranking official. So he's a man of influence, a man of intelligence. He is ruling on behalf of the Roman Senate. He is stationed in one of the most perverted places that can be, in a dark place, and he's got sorcerers around him, and still God is able to break through, and this guy believes. And then the proconsul believed when, how did he get there? When he saw what had been done. He saw the power of God demonstrated. Man, that's why you got to be praying for people at work. Go around asking people, hey, do you, anything you want me to pray? When they see the power of God release, when they see the power of God make a difference, then they end up where they're at, where he's at. It opens the door. Go around asking people, hey, can I pray for you? I used to do it all the time, and it freaks people out that God listens to you and I. They're like, oh my gosh. I told you, they looked at me like the spooky man, right? You're kind of spooky. You ask God for something and it happens. Yeah, I'm his son. And so you and I need to be praying for people. And when he saw what had been done, being astonished also at the teaching of the Lord. So he was open to the gospel, right? And when the blinders come off, I tell you what, you begin what you thought was a lie, now you know is really the truth. And so Paul put elements in his place. Immediate judgment, right? The spiritual realm was dismantled that quickly, right? And it's interesting because guys like Elymas, right, these witch doctors, they claim to see into the spiritual realm. And we know they're in darkness. And so here part of the judgment is this. Well, you think you see in a spiritual realm? Now you're not even going to see in any realm. Right? And so the power of God demonstrated, opened up Sergius to the truth of God. You and I, we need to pry the devil's hands off of people. We break the influence of the devil on people. And the way we do it is by praying. We need to be bold. We need to demonstrate the power. We need to bring the truth because the truth will set people free. I'll give you a good example. Sometimes we're intimidated and we should never be intimidated. And there's a guy by the name, and you can write his name down, Dr. Francis Collins. You're like, who's he? I think even as of right now, he's still part of the Obama administration. Dr. Francis Collins is the director of the National Institute of Health. He was the head of the Genome Project. I mean, this guy is a scientist, a scholar. He's a physician. He's a geneticist. Brilliant man. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. As brilliant as you get. But he was an avowed atheist. Out and out atheist. Didn't believe in God. None of that stuff. Right? He was a scientist, the way he viewed himself. Well, what happened? Well, he basically got two different degrees. I mean, he was you know, becoming a scientist, and he switched and really got into the medical field, got into the whole genetic stuff and also the physician stuff. So anyway, a patient of his, normal person like you and I, right? This guy's got more degrees than you know. I mean, he, you know, dissects the genomes. I mean, just, it's amazing what this guy comes up with, right? Well, one of his patients says, begins to witness to him. Hey, what do you think about the end of life? What do you think happens after this life? And he begins to ask him these questions. Well, you know what? He didn't have an answer for those. Huh? And it bothered him. So he began to, he said, well, I'm an atheist. I should at least have a cogent response for what I believe. And so he began really to a search to prove his atheism. And he said, I researched every argument, came up with my own arguments, but I realized they were all flimsy. I realized that under scrutiny, these things fall apart real quick. And they do. That's why I tell you as a pastor, challenge people's worldview. Lovingly, but challenge them. Right? Because they don't stand the test of time. They don't stand the test of scrutiny. They don't. But you got to know also what you believe. Amen? And so really, in his search to really try to prove his atheism, he had to come to the conclusion that, you know what? Everything that I've been studying only makes sense if there's a God. But it was his client, an average Joe, right? that just got the whole ball running. How many more doctors would be saved if you maybe asked them, hey, what do you think about the end of life? Maybe get some thinking, right? See, God wants to use you in this season, church. Man, Jesus said the fields, they're ripe for harvest. He didn't lie. He's just looking for workers. He said, man, I want people that are running, really ready to run into the field with two buckets, right, to fill them up. And so the church wants to use you in this season. He wants to call your name. He wants to put the ball in your hands. Right? You have a realm of influence, and he wants to use you. And I tell you what, if he calls the play, you're not on your own. If he calls the play, he will empower you. And so here's the game plan. I'm going to close with these two things. Here's the game plan for this season. Number one, I want you to write down your notes, to write down three people that you're going to target in this season. Three people that you're going to be praying for every day. Okay? You're going to be preparing for them, for their soul. That you're going to be taking on spiritual forces. Lord, I bind deception that's come over them, and I pull it down in the name of Jesus. Right? You're going to be praying for these guys. I want you to put down at least three. Maybe a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a neighbor. At least three people. Write those things down. And then we're going to have an invitation card made specifically to invite people for Christmas. We're going to have a service Christmas Eve, and we're going to have a service actually on Christmas Day. And so we're going to give you these little cards that you can then hand out to people. But for sure, for these that you are praying for. Amen? Amen. That is the game plan. That is the game plan. You know, we're gonna close in worship. Pastor Steve has something special for us tonight. And so let's everybody stand and also hold hands if you would. We'll bridge the aisle. If he didn't have something special for us tonight, he does now. No, he does.